You are listening to Around Comics, episode 222, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Afro Samurai, and Netflix. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's brand spanking new panel. Our guest de jour, or guest day week, is the current artist of Green Arrow Black Canary.
Speak English, motherfucker. What does that mean?
and select Trinity backups, Mr. Mike Norton. How you doing, buddy?
Hi. How's it going?
You got the headphone thing going too.
Right? Yeah, no.
It's all talk real low.
I'm confused by the technology here.
Let's all talk real low.
We're gonna do
real
my Blair White voice. How's it going?
Yeah, the headphones are throwing people off.
I like your place. Yeah, cool. It's very nice.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. Tom Caters, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
You have a good night tonight so far?
Yeah. It's been.
Mike brought cake. Sheet cake. Delicious sheet cake.
That was good icing. Where'd you get that from?
Oh, that was great icing.
Got it at Jewel.
Did you ask for the good icing?
I made it myself. I've been watching a lot of Food Network Challenge and thought that that's the best I could come up with.
Ace of Cakes?
Yeah, Ace of Cakes.
Nothing about it was that 65-year-old candle. I couldn't get any of it quite right. Yeah, you exactly. made the candles,
I
mean, right?
Yeah, I've been working on it for a month.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. All the hard work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It tasted like love.
It tasted.
There was a lot of love in that cake.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of pug love.
Sugar love.
Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
Buddy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. I'm here.
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Tom. What's happening?
We just discovered wearing headphones.
Well, this
3 years of doing a podcast, yes, we finally get headphones.
Yeah, it only took us 3 years before everyone got headphones. No wonder we sound like shit. For three years, we've been talking over each other because we couldn't hear what was going on.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't have the cash to lay out for expensive equipment like headphones.
Thank you, Cartoon Network.
Finally.
No, thank you, InStockTrades.com.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, whoops.
And remember that InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free, and they help certain podcasts purchase headphones for improved audio.
Yes,
so thank you, InStockTrades.com. Support our sponsors because they help support us. Thank you, guys.
And their support makes it easier for you to listen to us without getting angry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music for this episode, by the way, The Meters. So right, we're going to get funky.
Wow. Gen Meters. Van Meter?
Going down to Louisiana.
It's going to be a funky episode.
Oh, there we go.
Some Cajun seasoning on this one.
Exactly. I'm too old. I'm 65, man. I listen to like Benny Goodman and
the clarinet. And Nelson. Who we used to work with. Nelson's a big Meters fan.
Oh. Nelson's a fan of everything.
Are we going to have a Cat Stevens episode?
We may. It could happen. I tell you what, I was rocking to the ELO on the way up here. We could be looking at an ELO episode soon.
Mm. Oh, my.
If we ever do an episode sponsored by the Traveling Wilburys, I will quit.
How about the damn Yankees?
I will not have 1 second of Jeff Lynne anywhere near me.
No super groups.
No, there will be
Please, this is a super group free zone.
No music by any super groups.
I was rocking the ELO tonight. It was awesome.
I know.
I was the whitest man in Chicago tonight. It was great. And then I was actually going to listen
love
to some
Traveling Wilburys.
I love the Traveling Wilburys. My wife's ringtone on my phone.
Perfect storm of whiteness.
Yeah, there are no beats by the RZA.
Bob Dylan isn't quite smooth enough, so let's get Jeff Lynne in there.
My wife's ringtone on my phone is a Traveling Wilburys song.
They have more than one.
You have to go pretty... Wow, how do you find a song to put as a ringtone? Did she just make it?
Yeah. No, I made it.
Oh, okay. Wow. I was like, you don't download traveling Jingleberries ringtone.
Nobody. They're not hot. They're not out there on all the big sites, no. The ringtone sites. Well, you know, I don't know whose decision it was to let Chris choose the music for the show. It certainly was not mine. I assumed it was yours, Tom.
I will try. But, I'll try and be very diverse. And
yeah, some that's weeks, what I'm afraid
be,
of.
Some weeks it'll be Roy Orbison. Some weeks it'll be George Harrison.
Well, hey,
Tom Petty some weeks.
Petty. All right. You know, we got John Suntress's recap of New York last week. Mr. Norton, you have any good con stories or New York experiences
you know
you'd
what?
Like to pass along?
I did Crankcast yesterday from
You have no stories. So
yeah,
listen to what you
did
had.
You hear it?
Yeah. you have nothing.
It became very apparent. I was drawing over at Patrick's store. And Crank asked me what happened, and I thought I gave a pretty detailed account. And then I gave the phone to Patrick, and Pat was like,
give a better one.
45 minutes later.
Mike, if someone you know turned up dead, and your alibi was that you were in New York, and you gave your account of what happened, the cops would think that you were you wasn't in New York. Something must have happened.
I know.
There's no way.
I realized that too, because on the way home, it's like 5 minutes after something cool happens. I think, man, I should write that down because I'm never going to remember that to tell anybody. And lo and behold, I never have these good stories because I always forget the stuff until after somebody asked me what happened. And
you look like the king of New York. Walk
oh,
around.
Did I really?
Yeah, you were great. You
was it the crown
happy,
that I was wearing? I just got there was
the
a Burger King.
The cape, the flowing cape,
yeah. The purple awesome. Velour.
Oh.
The way you ordered people around,
yeah.
And they listened.
Yeah, well,
like 75% of the time. That bar at Stitch, I couldn't believe that guy did go fetch you a turkey leg. I don't know where he
how
got
was
it
the,
from.
How was the show for you, Mike? Was it a good show?
It was very good. I liked. I had a lot of fun. And see, right there, that sounds boring because this is funny. This happened to several people because you go around the show and everybody says, "Well, how's the show going for you? How are you doing? I haven't seen you. Haven't seen you in like a year. How are you doing?" And I would go. I wouldn't be depressing. I'd be like, "Yeah, things are going good. I'm not very interesting."
What do you? I draw a lot.
I mean, I stay at home and I draw, and sometimes I go to a comic shop on Friday night. and then they look at me and they don't want to say that I'm boring, but you know, then they just go away.
They humor you a little bit, and
underneath all the excitement of the Comic Con, there's a deep river of sadness.
No, it was actually a very fun show. I had a lot of fun. It was it seemed to be. Better managed than it has in the past because it's been incredibly crowded the last several. I mean, it's been crowded since year one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I actually was really interested in that because it was announced a couple days before the New York show that Reed Exhibitions, who runs the New York Comic Con, is going to be running a convention here in Chicago.
Cocksuckers. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, the crushers of dreams, as we call them.
Oh, are you guys wanting to do that?
No.
We had some
long-term plans, maybe, that could be affected, but whatever.
We've been drinking a lot.
Oh, so what if, and then maybe they'll have a few rats in their con.
That's the Chicago way.
Yeah. There may be a plague. There might be a strange virus that pops up at that show. I'm just saying. I don't know for sure.
Infected blankets.
All I can say is that
I know a few Teamsters. You might have a hard time with some of those guys at the.
Tom's fiance is a union organizer.
Yep.
We have.
Need we say more?
Yeah. Listen. Oh, a few tables got missed.
Power? You want electricity?
That's a separate charge.
Yeah, that's a whole other. No, I'm actually very excited. I hope it's an awesome show. And
I hope that becomes.
Yeah, we hope it's awesome. We wish them all the luck in the world.
But, you know, like all conventions, especially large conventions, there are things that people will point at and say, I wish this could have been managed better, or that, you know,
wish it had a cooler name.
Yeah,
better C2, website. C2,
C2. Like a sort of weird feces smell.
But you know, and New York, admittedly, their first year they had a lot of problems with as far as being able. You know, it was a good problem to have. They had too many people at the show. And the second year was better, but it was really last year that I think. That they started to get a real hold of what it was. What was it? It was better this year as far as the management.
I think this year they definitely got. I think they're getting a handle of it. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything that was just drastically different. I mean, it's still terribly crowded.
I loved watching the tweets on Twitter from all the people I follow that were talking about the professional line to get into the show.
Oh, that was kind of ridiculous. That was the only thing that bothered me, because I was one of those. I think I Twittered a couple times. Yeah, because I was sitting. I got there early because I'm like, well, I got up early. I should go over to the show. I should, you know, do what I'm here for. And I get there and I can't get in the show. It's like, wait a minute, I thought they fixed this. And but it's they have a separate line for professionals that's not the general public, but they both can't get in until the same time. And I'm just like, what's the purpose of this?
I've never understood.
Is this so that we don't see the general public or something?
They don't want you to, you know, have a glimpse. They don't want the public to have a glimpse of the creators.
Was there a velvet rope between you?
No. I think I was tweeting because I saw dudes in costumes in the professional line, and I thought, that's kind of weird.
Did you see my reply to you?
No, what did you say?
I said, you're in a Blue Beetle costume right now, aren't you?
I wish I could fit in a Blue Beetle costume.
If you're wearing a professional badge, but you're dressed up as a comic book character,
yeah,
someone
know,
should take
exactly.
the professional
they
badge.
Really should, I mean.
Like, let's just get into
unless
that
it's
line.
A costume party.
Staranko, it's not a costume. It's what Staranko. He wears all the time. Well, I mean. you were there
for abracadabra.
Yeah, exactly. You were signing at the DC booth. Did you have your own table?
I did. Cadence Comic Art had a table.
Oh, okay.
Because speaking of management things, I haven't got a table there since the first year because they kind of messed things up so badly that I just didn't want to go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
I hear things are better now, but. I just didn't want to deal with it. So Cadence said that they had a bunch of tables for the artists, and I was like, okay, I'll give you the money, and that makes it a lot easier on me. So, and it was a good placement. A lot of people came by. They did very well.
It's a nice location.
I'm thinking about that for our show because Paolo from Cadence is going to be set up there, and I'm thinking about doing that. So, you know, have an artist at the Cadence booth. So
the only problem with Cadence now is that they're getting too big, you know? They sign new people every day. I think awesome. I don't even know if it's public knowledge. Maybe I shouldn't even say it. But I met David Lloyd.
Ooh. Enough.
All right.
Awesome.
There.
So, yeah, I mean, he's got things going on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Good for him. Well, we're excited he's going to be at our show. That's, that was one of the things that we kind of felt was a good area to grow into was having original art. At the show, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, no rats.
No rats at our show. We won't have any weird smells.
It was very, I mean, you were only there for the one day, right?
I only went on Friday.
It was very cool. I only saw Suntress a couple times, actually, and that's usually when I was at the DC booth. I was only there for 2 hours, like the whole weekend.
So. When are you going to get into the Sky booth?
I didn't know there was one.
The Skybox?
Oh, no, that's not true. I did see, that's the only time I saw Jonah was from very far away. Jonah from CBR. Mm-hmm. I saw him like through a glass wall.
In the sky deck.
Yeah.
I think CBR was in the same spot that MTV was last year.
Wow, that's crazy. I saw Blair Butler from G4 walking around interviewing people, but I figured they were only going to look for the most ridiculous looking people to put on TV.
So you put on your movie quality Chewbacca mask.
Yes, I said, well, there's only one way I'm getting on TV.
I'm Peter Mayhew.
Peter Mayhew was outside smoking.
Oh, that is another thing I thought was weird. You know, they had the autograph signing area that was, I mean, it's your staples like Lou Ferrigno and Peter Mayhew.
Well, yep.
But they were incredibly crowded. Like, really? I could not walk past there the whole time.
Yeah.
That usually you walk by and you're sitting there and you're like, I feel sad for Peter Mayhew.
But then they would also have like Matt Fraction over there too. Which
there was
weird.
No rhyme or reason to how things were going. It was funny.
I still had the best conversation with Gary Coleman in New York 3 years ago.
Oh, man. I can't believe you got to talk to him.
He's on
you know who? I did see DMC from Run DMC.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, well, I didn't know that. I just saw him walk by and I was.
Is he doing a comic book?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, really?
Sean McKeever was with me. And Sean McKeever, up until like a month ago, had King of Rock as his ringtone. And I'm like, dude, that's DMC. And he's like, no, that's not DMC. And I'm like, dude, that's DMC. We need to go talk to him. And he convinced me, because after a while, he's just like, well, you kind of talk yourself into it. He's like, I'm not going to go talk to him. That guy could be, he's like, what, we all look alike or something like that? And I didn't want to be that guy. So... but then the next day on Newsarama, DMC is making rap comics. I'm like, motherfucker!
It was DMC.
Oh, by the I'm angry with Sean.
Oh, why are you angry? What? Get in line. Why are you mad at Sean?
Because he won't email me back.
Especially, everybody doesn't like you.
Yeah.
He some did point out that he doesn't like you.
Yeah, some guys just don't
like
you.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
I saw him I saw him for like 30 seconds and. Uh-huh. Like 25 of it, he was like, I don't like Chris.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the conversation,
it's weird
he said,
how he just brings it up in conversation.
We had
like
talked
that.
About
he emailed
stuff.
Me the other day.
And as I'm walking away, he's like, saying, Tom, remember, I don't like Chris.
Yeah.
No, I think he's fine.
I think that was actually part of his signature in his email.
Was I don't like
was
Chris.
Something about I don't like Chris Niesman.
Niesman is a douche.
Something like that.
Yeah. Are you trying to get him to come up for the Windy City? I've been trying to, too. I don't know. He's a weirdo.
It's strange.
He really is. I mean,
what if I promise him that I can make him a breakfast similar to Bob Evans?
You know what? I think that really is the key because there aren't any in the area, are there? I mean,
I
it's just
so.
A sad
he
thing.
He can get a breakfast similar to a Bob Evans breakfast somewhere in Chicago.
I will buy him a breakfast.
Bob Evans.
I will bring Bob Evans to the show.
I will bring him the dead corpse of Bob Evans. That was an assumption.
I'm sure Bob Evans.
I don't want
to
know how they
make, appreciate that.
Sal, I don't want to know how they make the sausage.
Well, there you go.
You
I don't think
know.
Bob Evans travels well. Like in a car.
Yeah.
Oh no, eat that sausage.
There's a hole in the bag from the grease.
Yeah. Sausage and gravy is fine 2 days later. It's sitting in the car.
It is. It's a little thicker.
So do you want to talk about some comic books?
Yeah, let's talk about some comics. Enough about this
fucking comic.
It's over. It's weeks ago.
Get over it. Get over it, losers.
It was good.
I don't know.
You should go.
I will say, for the first time in a while, it was...
I know you missed going there. Missed a call everybody while they're there.
Who did you call?
I called Wood, who didn't answer his phone, and so then I called...
He doesn't like you either.
I know.
Call me.
Well, you were standing right there. So I knew that I called Wood, he didn't answer his phone. Really and then
that
I
is so sad.
Then I called Vince, and Vince was with Wood and Tom.
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Is Greg Rucka there?
Is Greg
I did feel jealous though after like because I was watching
I that,
all the Twitters.
I
and
do that
emails
every year when San Diego comes around, and then I remember I hated going to San Diego.
There was definitely it sounded like it was real fun.
I waved at James Robinson, he waved back, but I don't know if it was just because of my assertive wave or if he recognized you.
He's like, I better wave back.
This guy looks
crazy,
a little suspicious,
a little crazy
with that beard. He's waving at him. Hey, hello.
All right, what have you been reading, Tom?
Beard means
enough,
business.
Enough con talk. What have you been reading? What's on your top of the
something
stack?
Something I enjoyed.
Ooh, can I play it? Can I play it?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, play it.
Play it top of the stack.
Top. Of the stack.
I really enjoyed Rebels number one.
Oh, so did I.
But
tell me
Tony Bedard.
Did you really?
Andy Clark.
I did.
Yeah.
No, I did. I really did like
because
it.
Because I was talking to you about it.
I didn't.
I don't think you had read it yet.
No,
I'm pointing at Sal.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, it was.
I loved it. It was fun, and it was cool to see. You know, after 52 went down, and all the writers kind of didn't do anything for a while, in sort of the DC universe with Countdown, a lot. You know, Beechin hasn't. I don't think has done a ton. Bedard, I think, kind of got jammed in between other people's stuff all the time.
Right.
He hasn't had a chance to...
You mean after Countdown?
Yeah, after Countdown hasn't had a chance. Well, yeah, I mean, similar to what happened with the 52 guys, but they're even, you know, smaller. You know, they're not as big of names, so they didn't have the same projects. But, I mean, McKeever's been writing Titans, so he's been sort of the one that's actually had projects that have come out pretty consistently. But Bedard's always been sort of stuck in between other things, or someone's always been announced to be writing what he's writing after he's done almost immediately. So it's nice to see him get a chance to write something, you know, from the beginning. From the get-go. And it was fun. Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of Guardians of the Galaxy, as you mentioned, a little bit. I like cosmic characters, but I don't like my cosmic with a big C. Yeah. You know, like, I enjoy the DC cosmic characters, but I haven't loved the sort of Starlin take on him recently. There's just been a lot dealing with, like, here's the story, and then all of a sudden a god shows up to explain what's happening.
It gets too cosmic.
It gets
I
like my cosmic with a little C and some blasters and people running around. Like Han Solo.
More Star Wars cosmic.
Like Han Solo, not Luke Skywalker. You know, like... more action adventure type
more
stuff.
More Han, less Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly how it goes. So it was a great first issue because it drops you right into the middle of action. I love any time that you can see any of the Brainiacs being a dick to people.
Yes.
In some
and Brainiacs some being dicks to other Brainiacs is even better.
Exactly. That's why I want one issue, a one shot called Brainiac Asshole of the Multiverse, where you just get all the versions of Brainiac into a room together and they just all rag on each other for like 30 pages, just like, oh, you idiot, oh, you're the stupid one, you know, like just making fun of each other for the entirety of the issue, because there's nothing better than seeing Brainiac just bitch on somebody. But the idea of the story is Brainiac 2, who ran LEGION, which was an intergalactic police force that you could lease out to police your planet.
Why don't you just say Legion?
That's not how it goes.
Because it's an acronym.
It's an acronym, as they make a point of it in the issue. That you could rent out, but he doesn't trust living creatures, so the entire police force is built out of robots. But his number two, who is a robot, takes it all over, and he's on the run. He runs into Supergirl, who's just gotten back from the future, where she was hanging out with the Legion.
And the Legion, or the LEIGN, these robots have now taken over any area that they were guarding. Now they've martial law, and they've just sort of taken over any planet that they've been assigned to.
So Brainiac 2 is on the run, trying to figure out how to get his police force back, and it ties into the Legion of Superheroes with Supergirl, and it was just a fun
because she recognizes she doesn't recognize Brainiac 2, but she recognizes where he's from. And
well, she's like, oh, you remind me of somebody I know.
Yeah,
but it was a great action adventure story, and I love the idea of the whole premise always behind all the non-villainous Brainiacs is that they always figure out how to get out of things. And the fun of reading the stories isn't that it doesn't make it boring that you're like, oh, he's going to get out of it. It's interesting because you can just kind of heap on tons and tons of shit. And he's always going to figure out.
Because he's brilliant.
He's like two steps ahead and he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about on the forum. I really enjoyed it. And it gave me, it sort of felt like All-Star Superman in a way to me, because it felt like anything could happen in that book. There was no real restrictions to what they were doing. And it was just really fun and sort of had this abstract quality to it, like All-Star Superman, where it's like not quite the DC universe, but it is.
It's going to be a million miles an hour and it's going to be fun and just enjoy it.
Well, like we were talking on the forum, you know, it's really hard sometimes for writers to write, you know, genius characters when, you know, these characters, you're trying to write a character that's
smarter than you.
Yeah, way smarter than, you know, smarter than anyone's ever
lived. I almost wanted to say that last week whenever we were talking about Fantastic Four and why that's so hard to write. It's hard to write Mr.
Reed
Fantastic,
Richards, right.
Because he's, well, he's one
well,
of the
Well, also,
people
it's
in the world.
Hard to write him because he has to be kind of nice. Like I said, the best thing about any of the Brainiacs is Brainiac is a dick and he can barely tolerate other people around him.
So he's not going to explain himself.
He doesn't explain what he's doing until it's almost done. And then he's just kind of like, I've done this. Which kind of works.
It.
It's kind of like a weird little out for the writers, because you can write a big portion of the story and then have him explain without, and it's part of the character. People accept
it's
the fact
more
that
entertaining that way. I mean, you don't want a guy that, I mean, I'm running in, I don't want to make this about me, but I'm running into I've run into this situation with the creator owned book I'm doing called The Answer, because it's about a very, very smart person. It's just like, how do you write that unless you are that smart? You know, you could really go through and explain all this stuff, or you could just do something like what you're saying, which is much more entertaining.
Just do it.
It's just like, I know I'm smarter than you. Stand back and watch
let
it happen.
Me do it. Yeah. Trust me, I know what it's doing.
And it's easier for the writer that way.
It's one of the reasons I've really enjoyed Matt Fraction's Iron Man, because Tony Stark is brilliant, and I think that Matt is a very, very smart
but
guy.
But I think he's also done something really good with that book in that he makes Iron Man funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's a funny, smart guy. So the character disarms the people around him by being sort of humorous.
Snarky.
And it doesn't have the Reed Richards problem of like...
Yeah. It reads a problem because it's like he always is explaining himself. And they write in...
Can't you see I have facial hair? I've been working for hours.
I mean, they're just constantly... It's like, how many times is Ben Grimm going to go, what? Or and then he goes through this layman's...
stretch.
Explanation of what he's talking about. It's like, that's boring. I don't really care. I know Reed Richards is supposed to be smarter than me. I don't need to hear him talk.
You know,
quote unquote intelligently to know that.
But I think you're right. But for some reason, when I see him not written like that, I don't like it. It's like I'm so used to him
so
being
used,
like
yeah.
that.
Because they've been doing it forever.
You can't make him.
Well, I think a lot of times with Reed, it for me, it doesn't work because he's you know. He's such a small part of a book, you know, especially when he's not in the Fantastic. Take Reed into other books and he's like, he'll be in three panels. And the only thing he's doing is explaining some brilliant
he's
thing.
He's there to explain.
Yeah, you know
he's
what I mean?
He's basically the exposition whenever he's not in the book.
So it doesn't make for a very interesting character. Well, I don't know. He's a very tough one to do because, like you said, they've been doing it that way for so long.
Well, have you guys been reading Legion of Three Worlds, talking about the guys? Not yet.
Boy, I got lost in the last issue.
I thought it was great.
I enjoyed it, but I need to go back and read too much time had passed.
You're too old. I remembered all of it.
Really?
I'm
time for Grandpa to go have his fucking oatmeal, I guess.
Samuel L. Jackson returns in the sequel to the best-selling anime of 2007, Afro Samurai Resurrection. Afro Samurai avenged his father and found a life of peace, but a beautiful and deadly woman is forcing him back into the game. Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Lucy Liu, with new beats from the RZA featuring 2 hours of extras. Get the Blu-ray and DVD on February 3rd. Afro Samurai Resurrection. One brother, one path, 1,000 deaths.
Visit AfroSamurai.com for more details.
It'll be fine.
Final Crisis is over for me, so I'm not reading any of that shit.
The best part about that whole story is that the entire issue, Brainiac 5 is just telling people what to do, and they're all like, "Oh well, he knows what he's doing.
He knows best."
And it works, and it adds tension to the story because you don't know what anybody's like.
What
listen, we have to do these three things. Don't ask me why. I don't
find
have time.
An elephant. I need
three yards
of rope. And
I need you to go there and just stand there until something happens. You know, this is what
he's a superhero house.
Brainiac 5 is the original house.
That's a really good.
House should owe some money to whoever invented Brainiac 5.
Rebels. It was really fun. Good. The art was very good.
Andy Clark had a little bit of like Brian Talbot and a little bit Frank Quietly
and little
Gary Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. It worked really well.
So he's doing different than he usually does.
I'm not familiar enough with his work to say whether or
neither
not.
Neither am I. What I've seen doesn't look like what you're describing. So.
Then yes.
Okay.
Then yes.
I didn't know this book was out yet. I didn't know it was out yet.
It just came out this past week.
I think we're kind of spoiling a little bit, but I ever since I read Planet Heist, I love the Omega Men. And
the Omega Men.
They're in the store?
They have a cool spaceship.
Yeah, any book that has the Omega Men is pretty cool.
That spaceship makes no sense.
No, it's why would you build it?
But it's awesome that no one has decided to change it from being an Omega sign. Just ride with that. It works. Whatever.
Style over substance.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
just
the Omega Men.
Apple built it.
It's just all style. Shaped like an Omega sign. It doesn't make any sense.
It's cool, man. The chicks dig it.
Ride it out.
Exactly.
There's one that are we all wrapped up with Rebels?
Yeah,
go
sure,
buy it.
Go
it's
for
fun.
It.
Another number one issue, and I believe it's Wildstorm. This has come out like probably almost 2 months ago, but I haven't Jesus had a chance Christ. To Holy I haven't had a chance shit. To talk about it on the store. And that is Mysterious, the Unfathomable.
You talked about that enough on your other podcast. We don't.
Have we covered that pretty well?
It's like 2 months old, man. Bring some fresh shit to the show.
Bring some freshness.
What is this, a clip show?
All right.
let me furiously look through my books.
If you're going to do two podcasts, dude, you got to choose. Talk about a book on one. You can't talk about the other.
I talked about this with you today at work. The Amazing Spider-Man Extra number 2 came out a couple weeks ago. Paolo Rivera, who most people know his fantastic painted work and the Marvel Mythos series and some great painted covers, is doing...
I like this better than his painted stuff.
Take a look at this.
I haven't seen it yet.
Take a look at that shit, man.
It's the first time I've seen Paolo Rivera do penciled, inked, sequential stuff in comics rather than his beautiful painted stuff in Mythos, but... this has a nice like Marcos Martín
Opeña a little bit. It seems like it's same school kind of.
I really, really like this. I would like to see him do this maybe even more than the painted stuff because I think he would be able to do this.
I really like
more
the
often.
Eyes he has on Spider-Man's costume.
Yeah,
they're different than anyone else does. Is kind of in,
he does eye. He does a
they're
great
much more
Spider-Man.
Ditko-esque.
Mm-hmm. And his eyes roll back like
eyes.
Sort of the flat top. And because everybody always does like the big swoopy. What the hell is that noise?
What the hell was that?
He's listening. Oh.
Shut the fuck up!
It drove me crazy.
But no, I it was really nice to see some different style from him.
Spider-Man.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, very good. No, very cool. I love the Wolverine.
Yeah, he does a great Wolvie.
He does the short little ears. And
am I going to have to start picking up Amazing Spider-Man
you might
all
have
the
to.
Time?
I don't buy it all the time, but I do pick it up.
It's
this is
really
like, what
good.
Is this, like three stories in here or two?
I pick it up with Cello when the art.
Yeah, there's a Dan Slott. That's a, I believe it's Zeb Wells and Paolo Rivera story.
Yep.
And
which
Dan, one? The one, the... Paolo Rivera one.
Oh,
written by
I'm
Zeb.
Sorry. Okay.
And then Bacello and Dan Slott. I think it's two.
Would like picking up off of Zeb's run on the three weird issues that he did in there. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not. It's the Anti-Venom.
Spider-Man continues to be a lot of fun.
Looks cool.
Did any of you guys read Bad Dog Number 1 by Joe Kelly? And,
I got it. Have not read it yet.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I started reading it and I didn't finish it. I got caught up doing something else and just haven't gotten back to it.
Interesting.
Well, you know, I have two kids and a wife.
Left
and,
stuff. I'm alone. Start it. When I start something, I finish it.
But I kind of liked it.
It's a little choppy.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was about. Joe Kelly, right?
I
did. You did a nice critique.
Well, he asked me. I didn't say it rude. I was like, "What?"
Oh, by the way, Kelly.
No, he said, "What did you think of it?" And I said, "It's a little choppy at the beginning, but by the end, I liked it. But it was a little all over the place story wise. Like I couldn't quite tell
how
it all flowed from one thing to the other.
Right.
I think it's pretty funny. It's dirty.
Yes, it was
for a lot of curse words. And werewolf who doesn't want to change back to human.
That was hilarious. The one scene where he's like, they're bringing in a bounty, and the guy's trying to explain to the woman about how he wants the cash, or whatever. And the werewolf's just standing there in the background.
Yeah,
he just sort of is like trying to explain to the woman real calmly about how this guy's a foul-mouthed bastard. And the woman just starts freaking out because he's a werewolf, you know. But he refuses to change back.
Just hates humanity so much.
Nice.
But it was pretty decent. It's a long fucking book. That is a thick... It's $3.99, but
that's
that
why
is
I
a,
didn't finish it. It was
that's
so
a
fucking
thick,
long.
That is a thick story. Good. But very good, but very, very... It was worth checking out.
I will have to finish it. I just had like
you
said.
Go. Do you guys read Fables in single issues?
No.
Trades.
I heard this was a... Well, you read Walking Dead in single issues? I just do this to run out.
I read the last hardcover. I'm convinced that Robert Kirkman hates us. Because he's just... I mean, that story is mean.
Oh, it goes...
This is the mean story.
I enjoyed the last issue.
I loved the last issue.
Show, don't tell.
lot of telling. That book has become
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, find a way to do it that isn't.
Well, this issue, what he did with, yeah, I mean,
really like this issue.
I think it was almost a reaction to the last issue,
which was a lot of show.
Was very well, graphic. Well,
mix it up.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying from an issue-to-issue standpoint.
It's a lot of exposition.
Watching two guys talk about stuff that happened in the past sitting next to each other is maybe one of the least visually interesting things in a medium that is half... It's half visual.
I
don't disagree, but I really liked the story. I mean, I really liked
and,
his
hey, listen,
first.
I thought it was.
If you're gonna bend the rules to have that phone shit, why can't we have flashbacks? listen,
okay,
we're gonna Touché. Bend all those rules, so we follow all these rules. To...
Well, once again, I think it may. Well, I mean, maybe he just didn't want to actually show.
I don't want to be too tough on Walking Dead, as I like it, but there are times when single issues are duds. To
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
just yeah. not.
There,
just like,
there are high and low points with it, and, you
and
just
I know some.
Them.
There'd be some. Oh, you can't talk bad about Walking Dead. Like nah. Joss Whedon, bring him on. Bring in all the sacred cows. I'll take them all on,
Mr. Whedon.
It was all right. I mean, I got to the end of it, and I was like,
wanted to see more blood.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh.
It's
well,
not.
That's
that.
What it would have been. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I think it may have been more intentional of like. If he would have shown, what are you going to show flashbacks of? His wife getting raped and his,
whoa.
You know, him tearing guys to pieces with his bare hands?
No,
what
no,
are you
I'm
showing?
I'm saying the visual, there's even more interesting ways of showing two people talking to each other than back and forth with their heads up against a car, like where it's just two people.
Well, that's, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I
understand
don't
wanna,
your point. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it was yeah. terrible. It was just, I thought,
no.
it's kind of boring.
No,
it's
no.
kind of a boring story.
All right.
I knew that was where it was headed. Of
you
course,
said,
that,
I think
of course, everyone's got fucked up stuff's happened to all these people. Like who?
So you didn't want to hear that story at all?
No,
you didn't,
just make it more interesting. Make it more interesting.
Okay. I thought it was a
who
night,
has gotten to this point and like hasn't had something terrible? Like well, I just woke up. Now yeah. I'm doing what you do with
yeah. You're
Vince.
Just yeah,
yeah.
You're just
it's like oh, another person with a sob story in a zombie world. No shit. Everyone's life has sucked.
But
so
that's
far.
The whole point of that book is hearing people's stories.
Well, I think the whole point of the book is to show people stories.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free two-week trial by going to netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service on my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today.
I kept thinking that we should do a segment like on the show of like the PTI quick hit kind of mm-hmm. thing where it's just me and Tom like just give us a topic and we just like for 30 we have 30 seconds yeah. each to just debate
I'll just have,
it.
And, I'll have flashcards and a stopwatch.
Exactly. That
we'll just, Scar, son of a
just
bolt,
like,
go.
Like 3
might,
minutes.
I
just get
I just
10
might
topics.
Switch. I might switch to trades on Walking Dead. I think
wow.
it's just going to be what's going to happen because there's just, for my taste, there are just some issues where I'm just like, I wish I wouldn't have bought this single issue
right.
to read this. It makes sense in the larger story, and I know that if I read it next to the story before it and next to the story after it, I wouldn't feel that way. But I'm like,
I hate personal taste. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I actually really enjoyed it, but
yeah
you know.
Oh, keep buying it. Unless you hate it, then don't.
I hate if you really like
you
know,
really
talking
like
is fucking buy it, but
yeah,
I
go buy Avengers.
If you want something interesting?
I may, have, heard, I may have heard something. I don't know if we can talk about
backhanded Gator's comment. Nice. Oh yeah, if you like an issue of just two people telling you shit, yeah, buy it.
P pick it up by all means.
Nice.
Buy two copies.
I may have heard something. I hope we can talk about it. But Mike, did you have something kind of cool coming up regarding Trinity here pretty soon?
Gee, was that a leading question?
Are you talking about the cover thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was newsworthy.
It's newsworthy to me.
I'm just doing some covers.
Well, yeah, and Sal kind of asked me, he's like, well, is that kind of a big deal? And I was like, well, the Trinity covers, they're still following this pattern that it's not just one cover.
I didn't ask you if it was a big deal.
Well,
I said it was a big deal.
It's not that big.
I asked, what is Mike doing? What cover is he doing?
Oh, and then I said, well, it'd be three covers, right?
Yeah, that's what
you're saying.
Make me sound like a dick.
No.
That's a big deal. Mike's doing a cover. Big fucking deal. What?
Whatever.
It's not that big a deal.
Whatever.
Every three is a triptych. They did make one big image.
Yeah.
And Carlin at the New York show asked if I was interested in designing three of them so that. Three backup artists would do three of the covers. So I did the triptych design, mm-hmm. and I did one of the covers, and now Scott McDaniel and Tom Derenick are finishing the rest of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I saw Scott's this morning. It looks amazing.
Hot?
It's amazing. I really like
it. A little competition between three of you?
Well, not like we're trying to kill each other. It's more of like...
hurt each other.
On my end, it's like...
Sprain a knee.
On my end, it's... crap, I'm working with these guys who have been around a lot longer than me. And
who got stuck with Wonder Woman?
I stuck Tom with Wonder Woman. all the characters are on each cover.
It's pissed off every Wonder Woman fan that we have.
No.
Both of them?
Thanks for taking the heat off me.
The whole point behind the design was that I tried to make it so that... play up to the strengths. Like Tom draws really hot women.
In his head. Tom draws really hot women in his head.
That only made us all laugh as we had headphones. Otherwise, no one would have heard.
And Scott draws really cool bat characters.
Can you tell me more about Tom's hot women?
Tom's hot women?
Yeah.
And you did Superman.
Well, it's kind of misleading because they're the same characters are doing the same thing on each cover. They just look different.
Cooking breakfast.
But I'm drawing them the classic Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman just because it's my first DC cover and I've never drawn them like that before.
Get it all shot.
It was a selfish thing on my part.
The other two are Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, but in a different.
Yeah.
Style or something.
Yeah, well, if you've been reading Trinity, you would know.
I haven't.
Well, yours is Superman.
It's all right.
Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman making breakfast, and the second one is Lois Lane, Alfred, and Steve Trevor making breakfast.
That would be awesome.
Making lunch.
I feel stupid for not coming up with that.
But I am reading Green Arrow and Black Canary, and I wanted to compliment you on the latest issue that came out last week.
Well, thank you. I didn't know it came out.
I told you earlier, but the truck scene was awesome. So
thank you.
I really, really enjoyed it.
It's got a different feel to it than the Winnick stuff.
Yeah, how you liking your new writer? You breaking him in all right?
Yeah.
Telling him how it is?
You riding him hard?
Listen, motherfucker, you just got into comics.
This is really weirding me out. No, it's
you want more splash pages.
It's fun.
You riding him hard.
It's fun. It's fun. I like it.
Yeah,
I like drawing it.
You like that shit?
Drawing it.
You like drawing it?
That's all you got.
I think we talked about it last time. The last issue came out. It's the same guy. I do enjoy doing it. I think I'm getting a little more comfortable with drawing it. So
it's erotic.
It is. I'm putting a lot more nakedness in it.
Man. It's pretty hot. A lot more nakedness. Some hot shit going on in that. You guys didn't read Fables, but.
No, don't spoil it for
Fables,
me.
I read Fables 81 in my bed last night, and when it was finished, I simply turned off my light and just lied in bed. And I couldn't read any other comics, and I couldn't fall asleep. I just lied there for a while.
I've had really comics like you. That.
Yeah,
really?
It was really sad.
I think the last issue of Why did that to me.
Really?
Yeah, I felt... I felt exhausted after.
Yeah, that's a good way.
It
kind of
cold.
I was emotionally.
I don't know. I read the Incredible Hercules trade on the way to New York, and I got emotional at one point in the story.
Well, I know. I've caught myself saying that a lot where I'm like, oh, you know, this made me tear up. And then I realized that happens probably once every 2 weeks. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm like, I can't believe Captain America got that sandwich he wanted so bad.
There's a point in the story where I was just like, no! Like that.
Did the dog die?
Yeah, the dog.
Oh.
He doesn't die.
Well, I don't know. I didn't.
Now we just gave all that away.
I'm not reading that either, I guessed.
But yeah, well, that's a good guess.
Damn.
I was just.
What's up, Karnak?
Well, I was just thinking of, like, what could be the thing that would make somebody cry?
Yeah,
a dog?
But that's pretty much
what
it was.
Let me open this envelope.
I'm going to guess Fables, Bigby died.
No.
Don't tell me, but...
The dog died.
The dog died. Yeah, exactly.
Now all these people are like, oh, was that a spoiler? Oh, no.
I don't know. I
no. What's in the box?
I'm 50-50.
What's in the box? No. Was that a Fable spoiler? No.
What's in the box?
Neil Gaiman, back to...
What'd you call me?
Comics?
Yeah.
Batman, oh, yeah. Number 686, Neil Gaiman, back to comics.
You know what would have been nice? A recap page. So people would know what the fuck is going on in that issue.
You know, I said this earlier. It's like, if I was, say, a publishing company that recently released, or was part of a larger company that released a movie that was like the biggest movie
like
of the
billion
year.
Dollars.
And I happen to publish comic books that were that movie was based on. I may, during that whole next year, try and publish a fucking comic book with that character that made any goddamn sense to somebody that maybe went and saw the fucking movie and would want to maybe read a comic book with that character in it. But that's just me. I don't know.
I think Are you talking about Iron Man?
Yes, fucking Iron Man. Matt Fraction, you motherfucker. I can't understand a word.
Yeah, I don't understand what's
the Hulk.
Going on.
Is the Hulk even in a comic?
No, I mean,
seriously, it's like, okay, you have the biggest fucking movie of the year, and your comic books for the last year have been impenetrable.
You know, the bad thing about the Gaiman thing is I actually think it's kind of, in the context of the story, it's an interesting idea, because I kind of think what it is, it's showing, and I'll get to the point where why this is bad in a second, because it's, you know, Batman got hit with that thing that makes him live all these successive bad lives.
Right.
So it's kind of showing all these successive bad lives. What would be nice would be any sort of acknowledgement to that.
That's what you're doing?
Because if you would just simply acknowledge that, then it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of an
interesting thing.
You show a life where Batman dies because he can't love somebody properly. That's a horrible life. Mm-hmm. You show a life where Batman's whole mission is a farce. Mm-hmm. It's a joke. It's like it's just something to keep some rich boy entertained.
Occupied, yeah.
What a horrible thing for Batman. Would that those not be great if you knew why that was happening in the story?
Oh, wow. Yeah, thank you.
And it's funny because I'm not expecting Neil Gaiman to make R.I.P. make sense. What I would like is someone who's picking it up because they like Neil Gaiman, which there are people that'll do that.
Sure.
If you had a simple explanation at the beginning that was like, Batman had recently, you know, like...
Yeah, Batman is hit by the Omega Section, killed, and now he's living a thousand lives.
It would make it more understandable,
I mean, it certainly wasn't poorly done in any stretch of the imagination, but, yeah, just the fact that you go from, you know, Batman and the whole Black Love thing, and, okay, I mean, imagine if you weren't reading anything other than just Batman. Like, imagine you just picked up the last three issues of Batman.
Yeah, and then you picked up this.
And it's just like, where the fuck, what?
You know, now would be a great time to be running the Paul Dini one-shot issues from Detective from, a couple years ago.
Well, like Tom said, it's not a matter, I mean, I'm all for experimenting and doing stuff out of the norm with comics. I mean, Jesus, Batman's been around for 50 years, so you do something different with him.
That's great. Cool.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just the fact that I'm just trying to think of it from a perspective of someone. I mean, shit, I've read it for the last 10 years,
and
I didn't realize that that's what was going on until Tom just fucking told me.
Well, I'm like, guessing. I don't know.
Maybe that's
what's going on. And thank you, Tom, for unwrapping the.
I mean,
that's my
guess at what I think it is, but I don't think I know people will say that there's a that it's good for a book to have readability. And I've said this to you. I've read the Picture of Dorian Gray like 6 times. I didn't read it 6 times because I didn't understand what happened in the book. Like, I didn't get to the end of it and think, what the fuck happened in this book? This book's awesome. I'm going to reread it. You know, like, I reread it again because I found it so entertaining and there's things to do it. And there's portions of this Batman story that I do think hold that sort of element to it. Like, I liked that Gaiman issue. I just went into it and I was like, I wish someone would tell me.
What the fuck is it?
Like,
what
this is this? It's that, mysterious enough without making, you know, it's mysterious enough without making the actual story itself. It's so meta.
Do you feel that, and I've kind of thought about this, that DC could really benefit from adopting the recap page?
Yes.
Do you think there's some fear on their part of being called a copycat because Marvel kind of... It's like, oh, DC's doing...
Why would that be the one thing that someone has a big problem copying? Like, they haven't copied each other 1,000 times and everything
else.
If
you're going to continue to write for the trade, I think recap pages are awesome.
If Dan DiDio is sitting at DC thinking, I'm afraid of what people are going to say about me.
He should be fired today.
You know, I mean, that's not how a publishing company should think about.
I'll tell you right now, that's not how he thinks.
I don't know why they haven't done it, but
it would benefit a story like this.
It certainly, I think, could help a lot of their stories. And I love the Marvel recap pages because I read a lot of comics a month. And from 30 days ago, there's times where I just don't remember what was going on.
Best recap page ever, though?
Oh, the Agents of Atlas, that was fantastic. That
House recapped, of M got rid of mutants.
That recapped the last 4 years in one page. Yeah, that was awesome.
Civil War got rid of Iron Man.
And what was the
Secret Invasion made everyone hate hate Iron Man.
Yeah. Civil War got rid of Captain America.
Yeah. That's all you need to know. Let's roll.
We'll see you in 3 pages.
I'd like if you can figure out what the Gaiman issue is, it's kind of cool.
Well, maybe we'll figure it out the next issue. I don't know.
Now, understanding that this is...
Of course you liked it, John.
This is well, if you understand that, now it's already more... I enjoyed it, but now I understand it and kind of think, okay, this is Batman living the living death of the Omega Sanction. And it's like, oh, okay, that totally makes sense now.
It's a good thing that Tom read Final Crisis and knew that he was hit by the Omega Sanction.
Well, but that's what I mean. Once again, a one-page, Batman is living 1,000 lives of
If you
of
didn't
hell.
Read Final Crisis, and even if you did, you still might not have any concept, and like Tom said, he doesn't even know if that's right.
Yeah.
You can't appreciate it though for just being like I'm just asking, like an all-encompassing, like, this is Batman looking at the publication history.
No, because it's already confusing in its own structure.
Okay.
The fact that the narrator himself is confused, I think, is not a good...
That would be telling.
I think that in and of itself is hard for readers when the narrator is like, I don't understand what's going on.
Well, the narrator's Batman, right?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, I don't know what's going on. There's like layers of... It's good to have mystery in a story, but there's also a point where you need context to make that mystery interesting. Mm-hmm. If you just put layers and layers and layers of like, what is this? What does this mean? What does this mean to this? What does this mean to this? At some point, it's just, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just...
It doesn't mean enough to me.
Like,
I like a little mystery.
I like a little mystery.
Sure. Well, is that, you know, and I guess maybe we'll see in the Detective Comics, which is interesting because this continues not in Batman, but in Detective, it's interesting.
Brilliant.
To see. Well, it's, you know, and I was kind of
Superman
thinking about
thing.
Huh? Well,
that's what Alan Moore did with the Superman thing too.
Well, Alan Moore was a fucking idiot.
I think a lot of it is the
kind of juggling and reshuffling as they get ready for all the battle for the Cal. They've got to get everything to the same stop point.
Right.
But it'll be interesting as this picks up in Detective that, you know, maybe this is the reveal at the end and they didn't want to ruin the mystery by setting it up to begin with. Maybe that's
I'm only looking at it purely at a perspective of
a first-time reader perspective,
just not even a first-time, just someone casually maybe, or that someone is that isn't invested in DC Comics enough to have known everything going into it. I mean, like I said, if you have the biggest movie of the year, you might want to think about publishing stuff that is a little more accessible to people.
Well, and I think, you know,
to be more successful as a publisher.
I think that Azzarello and Bermejo's Joker graphic novel was that. I think that was very consciously a continuation in the comic book world of Dark Knight.
There's a whole bookshelf
you could just go read,
like
a comic
anyone
book.
Could figure out what to buy.
Well, Batman Year One. I mean, honestly, I mean that's what, I mean really they're I mean
you're just making excuses
Wall.
For a publisher. They're publishing comics on a monthly basis. Let's publish to the lowest possible percentage of people that would be interested in doing it.
I think there is an element. Though,
I'm not saying it's wrong or like it's bad. I'm just saying it's stupid.
No, I understand.
Neil Gaiman wrote a great. It's a great little story. I thought Andy Kubert's art was some of the best I've seen
beautiful.
Him do
yeah,
in
beautiful.
A long time. I'm just saying the decision to that what DC has done for the last year with Batman.
It's been
has
a lost
been
opportunity.
Dumb.
It's been a lost
it's
opportunity.
Been dumb.
I agree with everything leading up to this Gaiman story, but I thought the Gaiman story was kind of accessible. I understand that you could be frustrated by the mystery, but. To me, it felt like if I were an old Adam West viewer, I understood this story. I just feel like, or even,
no way, Joe.
Or
there's no way,
or even, sure,
come on, man.
I thought the Riddler was totally Frank Gorshin. I thought the Joker was pretty self-explanatory. I thought Two-Face. I thought all the characters.
Okay,
were
but is it the, so? It maybe if you maybe possibly if you watch the Adam West Batman,
well, but I would even say the Fox series as well, man. I don't know. It seemed like timeless Batman. Tropes in this story.
Yeah, but then you saw two different tropes in the same issue.
Right.
Well, you saw two different sets of.
It seemed like an interesting little story that Neil Gaiman crafted, but it just seems strange coming off of what's been going on.
No, I respect that view.
It's just Batman's been very unapproachable, I think.
I completely agree for most of the year.
At least a year.
Yeah. But again, I also think there's just a ton of trades.
Well, nobody buys that stuff.
we don't. None of us buy that shit. Yeah. Wait for the trade. You kill the book.
I don't. All right. Well, and certainly they shouldn't publish everything. But, I mean, it's, you know, there is some value to the idea, you know, once again, to go back to Marvel of, you know, every issue is somebody's first.
I completely
agree. That was the first issue of somebody that watched the Batman movie and went and picked it up, they'll never fucking read another one. Or maybe they will, but I doubt
they'll
it.
They'll never
read
another fucking one.
The last one they're going to pick up.
Are they going to retire are they going to retire the Joker because Heath Ledger did it so well?
Oh, did you see my post on that?
Isn't that hilarious?
I love it. I think it's funny. Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero fans are telling everyone to go fuck themselves.
I just
retire
have
the
we
Joker.
Talked about
and
this?
How many people saw him? How many like Cesar Romero fans are still alive?
No, here's the thing I love about this. It's the same thing with when the guys who are playing Kirk and Spock in the new Star Trek movie went to go talk to Leonard Nimoy
no?
and William Shatner. Like, they invented the character. They're lucky. William Shatner's lucky he got to play Kirk. It's not the other way around. It's not like Kirk crafted that character, you know, like Shatner crafted that character. He sort of lucked in to doing that, and it for being memorable, which I always love the fact that people are like, Heath Ledger, it's such a collector mentality, too. If people don't know what we're talking about, there's like an online petition for them to retire the Joker character because Ledger did it so well.
From films.
But think about collectors. Like, oh, this is the, we have to lock
we
this away.
Stop. This can never be done.
God
again.
Forbid anyone that's else tough. Should ever touch it ever again.
Well, like I said, for me, it would be, I think, hard. I think Ledger did such a fantastic job and I'll always associate him with that, with sort of that, but it would be kind of weird to watch somebody else play against Christian Bale
before Heath Ledger took that role. People were like, no one will ever play that role better than Jack Nicholson did.
Yeah,
he owned that role.
I'm not sitting there defending idiots that want to retire the Joker from movies like it's even a possibility.
It's like wait 20 years from
that's
now.
That's the hilarious
it's
part.
The same thing it's the same thing with comic books. We're like, let's kill this character. Yes, we all agree. And then 20 years from now, there'll be completely different people working on it who all say, why can't we use this character? None of us decided that this character, like, is there any reason why?
Here comes Barry Allen.
We can't bring him back.
Well,
like,
it's the truth. I mean, I think some people really, I mean, it's hard. I'm the same way because I'm a fan too, right? But I think it was a lot worse when I was younger, where it's just like, you can't do this to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And it would you so self-identify as being a fan of something that it really destroys you, and you, that whole entitlement thing comes into play, and next thing you know, you're writing your own Return of the Jedi.
I just think,
you know,
all of a sudden you're like, this is the real kind of Jedi.
No, that happened. I think that was circulating the internet. There's like, this is Revenge of the Jedi. This isn't Return of the Jedi. This is the movie they should have made.
Yeah. It becomes the whole thing about, this is the perfect one for this time. It also ties in though. I had this conversation at Stitch with someone.
Well,
where they asked me if I thought that the Flash Rogues were terrible characters.
What?
Yeah, he was just baiting me.
Is that the guy that you beat up in the alley?
But I was saying, like, when people, we've said this before, we're like, this is now the best time to be reading comics, or Heath Ledger did the best Joker. I don't know. If you were 10 years old in 1963, that might have been a pretty cool time to be reading comics, too. Or when you were 12 years old in 19... You know, like, everyone always...
It's all objective. I mean, it's very...
But it's always a thing where people are like, we have to make sure no one ever plays the Joker again because this was, like, the perfect one for us now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, 30 years from now, you know, that someone else will do... I'm not saying that someone... We'll do it better, but someone could, or could do a version that's just as legitimate, or just as,
For me, I mean, it's like, I would have a hard time if next year they put out Batman 3 and someone played the Joker, because it's so fresh in my mind, but yeah, if 20 years from now somebody, I mean, of
Heath
course,
Ledger.
Please. They redid friggin' Hulk 3 years after they did the Hulk with a new Hulk.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's not
Eric Bana fans are still pissed.
Heath Ledger didn't show up for the first day of filming and they had it written like the Cesar Romero Joker and he was like,
no,
this is what I'm gonna do. You know, there was a lot of writing and direct, not to take away anything from Heath Ledger, but it wasn't like Heath Ledger showed up and was like, this is how we're going to do the Joker. You know, like, he was hired to do, he was told how he was going to do it, and he did a fantastic job of doing it.
Yeah.
But I think people assign ownership to people that are like,
who knows? I think that one's a little more difficult because it's sometimes with an actor's performance, I think they can certainly have way more to do with it than just what's on the written page.
He didn't show up with you're gonna play this like the Cesar Romero version.
The
dialogue, it's not to take anything away from Heath Ledger. I'm just saying, be careful about how much value you always assign to like who owns.
Well, here's the thing: if Heath Ledger hadn't died and instead had just went, I don't ever want to play the Joker again.
Exactly, yeah.
Nobody would be saying anything. No one would give a shit. No one would say, "Oh,
it's got
the added
weight of him dying." Sure.
And to me, that
I
don't want to insult a dead man.
But it's not like people talking about Iron Man up in arms because Don Cheadle is going to be playing Rhodey.
Some people were
really. I didn't hear nothing about it.
Yeah, I heard. Well, there's always
Here's the Iron Man fan. Are you very upset about this, L. Dave?
I think Don Cheadle's better than Terrence.
Yeah, somebody's. We're getting the better actor.
I like Terrence Howard. But
what do you
think
of them lowballing Sam Jackson?
I refuse to believe that Sam Jackson can be lowball.
Yeah, like you could make an offer too low.
I think I can have him come to my house.
That makes me question
Sam Jackson's being a dick because he got paid way fucking less for shittier movies than that.
Snakes on a Plane?
And, yeah, please.
Well, no, think about, I want to know what that actual offer was to think about the situation. Did Marvel go, this guy, Wolf, have
he's
you
sitting there
seen
going,
the movies
well,
he's
they can't
been?
Use anyone else. They have to use, I mean, that's what he's sitting there.
Yeah. That's what he's thinking,
they can't use anyone else, they have to use me.
We know why you did this.
It's fucking Hollywood, dude. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Hey,
Eminem
wasn't in Wanted.
Did you guys hear the rumors about the Wachowskis possibly doing the rebooting Superman and doing a trilogy?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Man, that's the rumor.
How about you just make one first, like one good one first, and then like a non-real estate
a scheme movie.
Yes, please. Oh, God, let's get rid of the real estate.
Supposedly, they're doing a Plastic Man movie first, though.
Well, you know, I think, you know, not that I'm a Hollywood insider, but I think that a lot
But I'm going to tell you some insight.
Well, no, you just kind of what
I read
you just,
on the internet.
Yeah, and you just kind of look at the cycle, and I think that movies, especially the superhero franchises, are looked at as franchises where it's like, this is going to be a three.
Well, I think everything... I know.
See,
I,
that wasn't as stupid of a comment as you thought it was going to come out of my mouth.
It wasn't nearly as 11 o'clock comics as I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Get out your tinfoil hat now because you're going to have. No, the Wachowski brothers. Here's the thing, though.
The one Wachowski brother is a transsexual. So, into my opinion, what he's thinking about doing is something. I mean, that's what I was assuming.
No. You're all wrong, man. Oh. What really it is. The first one's going to be all about the past, and the second one's going to be about the present, and the third one's going to be about the future.
As long as Grant Morrison isn't tagged to script it, that's all.
Hey, if it's All-Star Superman, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, true.
Just make
one good movie.
Here's the thing with the Superman movies. There's been more bad Superman movies than good ones. So be careful. You're treading on...
There's only been really one good one.
The second one was pretty good.
There were really one big movie, though, so kinda, you can't really count it.
And three, Pat, four.
But that's even not... the first one, there's some bad shit in that.
Totally. Totally.
Overall.
Just get Johns to write it.
The man physically isn't capable of writing everything.
And he's got a Shazam Rebirth series to write, goddammit, so leave him alone.
I actually
think the Wachowskis could do a good job at it. It's all going to come down to the script but
I've got a good Wachowski story after this.
I was going to, you mentioned John's, my favorite video interview on Newsarama was an interview with John's He had a legitimately nerdy reaction to something that someone asked him that looked like they were talking about Flash Rebirth. The interviewer asked, are we going to see the original Zoom? And his answer was, Barry Allen snapped his neck. no, you were not going to see it. Like, it's really like, no, I would not do, no. I will bring back Barry Allen, but I will not bring back the original Professor Zoom. And I laughed because I was like, I don't know if he meant it for it to come across exactly like that.
It's like, no, it was you like, don't understand.
But he was like, they were all talking about all these characters that come back. He's like, no, he snapped his neck.
Don't be a fucking idiot is what he wanted to say.
Of course I'm not going to bring back the original
Professor. He's like Brainiac. He's a little like Brainiac in that moment, I think.
Don't be an asshole. I'm not bringing back Professor. Oh, that's funny. Go look it up. You should have seen the look
on Tom's face as he reenacted that.
It's not going to happen.
No, my Wachowski brothers, because they did The Matrix, right?
Yes.
That's my plan to buy dead technology has worked. Because I told you about this.
Oh, yeah.
I got the
old... It's finally paid off.
It's finally paid off.
Years of buying beta players and 8-track players. It's finally paid off for
this. This week on Amazon, the Amazon Marketplace, picked up the Ultimate Matrix collection in HD DVD for $29.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You still have to watch.
You
the
have an
second
HD DVD
two.
Player?
He was one of the first adapters.
Well,
adapters.
I have one too. I'm just you still use it.
Oh, you do too?
I feel
bonded to you now.
Yeah, but it's like sitting on like my kitchen table waiting for me to put it on Craigslist or something.
No, I'm telling you, dude. You can go and you can get cheap HD DVD movies.
Here's the thing, though. You got a box set. How many discs are in this?
Five.
How many of those are in any way watchable? Maybe
two.
The one. No, I will argue just the original movie.
I like the second movie.
There are parts of the second movie I can watch.
I can watch all three.
All right.
I'll have to turn the sound off for two of them, but
no,
I can
watch
the goddamn things.
Well,
they look phenomenal.
If you don't pay attention to the story in the second two.
Well, yeah, you know
in the second one. I think people give the Matrix movies a hard time. I mean... I think they set themselves up. The first
one
was so phenomenal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable movie. It's still, I was just watching the other day for the first time in a long time.
It's a near perfect movie.
Yeah,
it's good.
It really is.
It's really good.
Unbelievably good. That there was no way that they could live up to what they had built. I mean, that first movie, everybody was wondering,
oh my God, these guys have the answer to the universe. They have the answer to life.
They should have.
Basically, is what they set themselves up to try and answer.
They had a little bit of the Lucas thing where when someone becomes fascinated with a portion of some fictional universe you've created,
that's exactly
and then you have
don't the, keep delving into
you
it.
Keep,
yeah.
You get tempted, I think, to explain
that's exactly
everything.
What, that's exactly what happened.
When
metachlorines.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have that balance of like, because not
keeping a mystery, keeping things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that absolutely. What happened, and but there was, I think there was just no way for them to live up to what they had done.
Well,
they
came out of nowhere
one.
With
yeah.
the first movie.
Yeah,
I mean, I went seeing this movie. I had no idea what it was about even, and I went and I saw it. It just comes out of nowhere, so it had the element of surprise.
Right.
The second one was
well,
the opposite of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you were waiting for it for three
yeah,
years.
Yeah, it's like,
two years
I'm waiting for the most amazing movie ever made.
And there was just no way for them to live up to it. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying the second and the third one are fantastic movies, but
I
think people just
still
like...
I enjoy the songs.
I'll watch all three of them. Visually, they're fucking unbelievable.
Yep,
I mean, they are awesome visually. And yeah, you know what? The story goes off, and especially the third one is just like... But like I said, basically those guys were trying to answer the question about, you know, the answer of life. You know what I mean? Like, so it was bound to fail at some point, but
they should have learned that from the Ernest movies. You cannot explain it in movie form.
But I still think they get way too much shit for those movies because they're not. I mean, there's way worse movies than Matrix 2 and Matrix 3.
Well, it's just the build up.
Bad Boys 2 for one.
It's one of Tom's favorite movies. It's one of Tom's favorite movies.
I'm sure if they made more than one Highlander, they would be bad.
Yes, you're right. If they did, they would be fucking awful. In fact, if they had made a Highlander 2, I'm sure it would be so bad it would be the only movie that I ever walked out of a theater on.
Yeah, I'm pretty much gonna guarantee.
I should have some sort of contest where if someone wants to sit down and watch Bad Boys 2 with me during Windy City Con, and I can just explain like all the layers of just
the layers.
Drive a fucking Hummer through a shanty town in Cuba. How was that allowed in a movie? I don't understand. This movie is ridiculous.
Bad Boys, man.
Two rats having missionary sex. Semi-serious action? I don't understand what this is.
Scotty actually sent me a link to a trailer for a movie that looks like it's going to make Bad Boys 2 look like, you know, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's a superhero movie called...
yes, I saw Super Cape.
Super Capers? Holy dog. Well, first off, the biggest name in it is Zeus Tiny Lister or whatever. That's the biggest... So that gives you any fucking idea what... I mean, this thing is so horribly bad looking. I mean, it's a comedy, basically.
I've never heard of this.
Look up the trailer.
What was the one
horrible.
The trailer that we had watched, actually on the show, the one that like Mad Max meets Underworld.
Doomsday.
Meets...
Doomsday.
It's sitting Doomsday. On my counter at home. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
It's not good?
I couldn't make it through it. I couldn't. Mm. I mean, it just got to the point where it was so ridiculous that I couldn't.
Interesting.
I mean, it really was like if somebody just took all those apocalyptic movies.
It
and
looks
decided
like it.
To
it looks like it.
If I didn't know better, I thought it was. I would think it was a joke, like a spoof movie.
Right, right. Well, the preview looked like a spoof.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. Yeah. It's horrible.
I read.
I mean, there's certainly. I guess you could like it on a certain level of just how bad it is. But
right.
I couldn't make it through it.
I almost finished World War Z.
Oh, the audio, yeah. Or are you reading it?
I'm reading it.
How are you liking it?
I love it.
It's awesome.
Good.
They're making a movie out of that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I saw the concept
if
art.
Anyone
we talked
who,
about it. So
anyone who listens to the show has ever read Please Kill Me by Legs McNeil. It's a book about punk history that's written from the point of view from, like, it's one of my favorite books about music or anything. I've recommended World War Z to people who like that book, and they love it because it's written it's written the same way where it's all based on interviews.
Okay.
Well, in Please Kill Me, it's written based real interviews with
real
people where they tell the whole story of like
kind of
punk
documentary
music.
Style.
Yeah. So it's pretty. I enjoyed it.
I still haven't read it. I
think you'll dig it.
I'm waiting for my Kindle, and then I'm gonna read it.
Kindle 2.
If I wasn't getting fucking married, man, I'd buy a goddamn Harpy.
I ordered it the day after it came out. I waited a day, and I had it in my cart on Amazon, and I'm like, do I really need it?
Who wrote World War Z?
Max Brooks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sat and I looked at that fucking Kindle because I was bitching the other when I was in New York, I was sitting with my friend Matt, and we were talking about owning books. I was like, man, I want to have a Kindle because I love reading, but fuck me if I'm going to have any more paper in my house. You know what? Like, I love World War Z.
I have no more bookshelves. It was a necessity. Yeah. I have no more.
Yeah, I'm having that problem.
I'm out of room. It's either start burning books.
And I always read shit where people are like,
burn them. That's the easiest solution for me.
Or give them to children.
Oh, well, there's that.
I saw people are like, oh, Kindle, the true experience of reading is feeling the paper between your hands as you flip the pages. And I look at my bookshelf, and I have these fucking books I bought in college that for some reason I've lugged.
I have those too.
And I'm like, why am I dragging these fucking books with me to every place? Like, I'm ever going to read this philosophy book that I didn't understand 7 years ago. Like, someday to like look smart.
It didn't have a recap page.
Well, I helped a friend of mine move who was an English major. And he had two copies of Animal Farm. And Animal Farm's not a big book, but I said, why? This is a symptom of a bigger problem. Yeah. You have two copies of the same book. This isn't a big book, but the fact that you own two of these.
I have the copies of... this is embarrassing to say. I have copies of The Lord of the Rings that I checked out from my junior high school library and never returned. Still somewhere in a box.
You should fucking bring those back.
I should. I have.
I checked these out 25 years ago.
1982.
Yeah, I still have.
They're like first printings.
I mean, I have the. They're paperbacks. No, they're first printings. I have like all the whole trilogy, The Hobbit, and. It's the guide
the Batman R.I.P.
Middle Earth Encyclopedia. Yeah. Something like that. That I checked out in junior high. Shit, was it even junior high? It had to be junior high. And
did you check them out all at once?
Probably. No, I don't know if I did or not. I don't remember.
Slowly kept accumulating them.
I have fucking boxes of books in my crawl space. Ridiculous.
Logan Square's got that up right by where Dunley's, the street that Dunley's is on, and the street that Cafe Lula's on. There's the book drop where you just drop books in there. Yeah. I'm gonna start bringing books over there. They had a VHS drop. I dropped my high school video.
You said that.
Yeah,
your high school what?
My high school yearbook video.
That's funny.
I don't have a VHS player. I'm not gonna watch that. And if I was high, I would watch somebody else's. In a heartbeat.
In regards to that, I'm gonna have a big bonfire this summer, so you guys will all be invited.
Burn books.
We're gonna have a good old fashioned book burn.
We're all gonna dress like we're in Fahrenheit.
Bring all your Morrison books.
Bring an axe.
Bring any records. Kerosene. Bring any records you find offensive. I don't like this RZA record. with its aggressive beats.
All right, damn it.
Yes.
I went out and bought The Story of the Wu-Tang Clan on CD after that.
Is it an audiobook read to you by the GZA?
So I'm trying to.
The Chef Ray
Kwan. I want this episode. Music Wu-Tang Clan in this. That's who is this episode. Wu-Tang Clan.
The Come story on. Of the
we this fucking bullshit. 97. No, degrees,
no. This is the meters.
To.
We should
this
keep the meters. Meters. No. We should. Next one should be Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay. Next episode has to be Wu-Tang Clan.
Is the story of the Wu-Tang Clan like a best of?
Yeah.
Or is it just like an audiobook explaining about the Wu-Tang?
Yeah,
it's a pop-up book.
That's how I need my hip-hop delivered to me, is in audiobook form.
This is how I met the Chef Raekwon. This is how I met...
Do we have any emails to read or anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get on with this.
This one is from Method Man. Chris, you're a dumbass. No.
I'm going to pop you in the head.
Oh, shit. I just laughed so hard this chair collapsed out. Oh, no.
No, this is from Jason Bull. And he says, hi, first one to say you guys rock. I've never missed an episode. Plus Tom versus the JLA / Flash is Uber. I have recently found a
new
way.
Is that a
new
word?
Uber, I think, is...
Speak English.
It's a German prefix, isn't it?
Oh, I know that. I was just wondering if that's the new slang.
Oh, Uber?
Hey, is that the new thing?
Yo, dog, you're Uber.
I don't know. It doesn't really work for me.
He says,
I'm not asking Hank anything.
You got to text it to him if you want him to answer.
Turn on his Facebook page. I've recently found a new way to enjoy comics in the form of audiobooks. Speaking of audiobooks.
You know what? Here's something. Okay. This reminds me. I downloaded an audiobook once. It was a Star Wars audiobook, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm working. I don't have time to read while I'm working, obviously. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, I think I've read this before. And then I realized this is a comic book.
What?
And I've never heard of an audio comic book.
That's what he's talking about here. He says there is a company called Graphic Audio that has done some of the big two DC graphic novels as well as Infinite Crisis and 52.
They also did Snakes on a Plane.
Really?
Oh.
I think so.
The
book of the movie.
Yeah, full cast, and it's really fun to enjoy some great comics. So that's from Jason Bull. So graphic audio. I guess I'll have to do a search for them. And I have heard about their Infinite Crisis.
I heard a little bit of. Did they do the 52 one?
Yes, there you go.
Where Black Adam sounds a little bit like the Count from Sesame Street.
Captain Marvel.
ISIS, I love you.
Nice.
I will never.
So there you go. Thank you, Jason. If you would like to email the show, you can do so by
The Rock of
emailing
Eternity.
Us at info@aroundcomics.com. And I think I said last week, please put listener feedback in the subject line. It helps me keep
Mary
track of
Mary Marvel, you dirty little slut.
Bela Lugosi.
I don't know.
Bela Lugosi, yes.
The hotline number.
That'd be awesome. He's got the hair cut for it.
I know.
Sal, what's our hotline number?
888-something.
Something. It's at the website.
I don't have it in front of me anymore.
All right.
You should have it on your notes. That's what you have.
All right, I'll put it in the notes.
I closed my computer. I'm sorry.
All right.
Go to aroundcomics.com. It's on the forum.
Do it.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net.
That was the only email
yet? That's, you read the other one that I had,
Hold on a second.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. Phil, I'm racing him now.
So it's upcoming on Tom versus the Flash.
Chris doesn't like when I read emails.
I'll plug.
Oh, okay. Here you go.
No, I got it.
Jesus Christ, guys! I got these headphones.
I'm a traveling consultant who lives in Indiana and drives home from O'Hare almost every week. I love your podcast and usually save it until I land at O'Hare, so I have something light to listen to while I'm walking from the plane to the tram to the parking lot and then heading out for home in my car.
European.
Needless to say. It puts me in the mood to stop at a comic shop on the way home.
Don't put these pauses in there.
I stopped at Dark Tower last week and picked up a few back issues. I already know all the comic shops in Northwest Indiana. Can you recommend any other comic shops in Chicago that are worth a detour off the expressway to visit? Regards, John.
I emailed John today and told him challengers.
Why are you emailing people that email us? We answer them on the show.
Well, John,
how am I supposed to make fun of his questions?
Yeah. Look how entertaining that was.
Okay, Shatner.
All right.
He said tram. Is he American?
Challengers Comics is a really good one in Chicago.
Brainstorm.
Brainstorm. Who else? There's got to be at least one other one.
You could probably order from DCBS and just have them drop it somewhere.
On the street.
On the street, and you can come get it.
All right. Next.
Dirt House, Windy City, Too Many Comics. There's a bunch of good ones.
I don't know. I think I have. Let's see.
I got one here. It's from Jacob Cross. That's Crose. Says, "Hello. I was wondering your thoughts on how the death of Captain America was handled compared to Batman R.I.P. The media coverage of Captain America's death was huge and leading to sellouts at local comic shops and high eBay prices." Where there was little to nothing about the death of Batman, who
it's
died.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference.
Batman showed up again two
yeah,
weeks later.
Batman didn't die. Okay. They tell you on the first page that he's not going to die.
Yeah, Batman didn't die.
Yeah.
There you go. But you know, I thought it was interesting because DC didn't have the huge marketing push, which I almost kind of respect them for a little bit.
Well, can you imagine how people would have reacted? They killed Batman and he shows up.
Yeah.
Like a week later.
I'm just glad it didn't. Fucking people read that. Christ.
Wow. He is angry. Read one.
Are you okay? Which part just pissed you off?
Was it the email? We shouldn't have read the email? Is that what you're saying?
Are you all right? No. Is everything all right?
No, thank you, Jacob. Don't let Sal scare you. Email
Email us again. It's just Batman didn't die, and it's obvious that DC didn't put it out that Batman was going to die.
No,
so,
I don't think they ever planned on it, really.
It was completely misnamed. Series. Horribly misnamed. All right, you got another one?
Yes, I got another. Paul
Rest
wrote,
in action.
Writes, I just wanted to let you guys know that I listen to your episode every week nearly as quickly as you get them out. You host my favorite comics podcast, as you guys are the biggest bunch of sarcastic assholes with a podcast ever.
Yay!
Especially that Tom guy. When I listen to you guys, I feel like I am listening to a little voice in the back of my head. Please keep being assholes and keep reading comics. Thank you.
You're an asshole,
Tom. We're attracting the asshole crowd. Thanks to Tom.
That's what we're aiming for, isn't it? That asshole crowd. That's how we pitch it to sponsors.
Yeah.
What do you aim for? Sort of like the lonely asshole.
The asshole shit your pants crowd.
Yeah, sort of.
Seems to resonate.
Frat boys.
Sort of dickhead who sort of assed you and then shits himself and then goes home and reads comics by himself. Sort of a social misfit.
P.S. I'm drinking scotch right now. Any recommendations to go with it, Mr. Neesman?
Yes.
To go with scotch, not recommendations. A handgun.
Oh, to go with scotch?
To go, that's
a pretentious attitude.
To go with it, Mr. Neesman. Wow. No wonder we attract assholes.
Golf?
Scotch.
It's a European firearms. Drink.
Yeah, drink American.
Drink American.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What?
Jesus Christ. I don't wonder what to go with scotch.
What goes good with scotch? Fish? Steak?
Cigars?
Violence.
My dad drinks scotch.
Toothpaste.
I don't know.
I don't like scotch.
I mean, scotch is a heavy meal.
Quaaludes.
That goes good with everything.
Quaaludes.
Scotch is usually good after a heavy
Italian
meal.
Mother's a little
red
lover.
Meat
Chinese
red meat cigars, that kind of stuff.
Uppers, downers.
I am a
Peps.
I'm a bourbon drinker.
Baby blues.
All right. Red tops.
I think that's all I got. The only other email I have is I do have another one from
WMDs Red Caps
from Gary.
Oh, that's nice.
We don't need to read that one.
Was it threatening?
No, it was just sort of talking about.
I don't appreciate the way Sal yells at me.
Hi, gang. Just listened to your latest podcast. Glenn Fabry actually told me the Grant Morrison white suit story a few years ago, but there were a few differences.
Yeah.
Someone should pin Grant down and get the definitive version sometime. Thought you might be interested in the biographical premature defecation story I drew a couple of years ago. I think it happens to be a great comic. Thanks to all your work and for keeping me company whilst at work on my spaceship.
Do you think Grant Morrison's version is somehow more flattering to him? How would you make that story more flattering?
I don't know.
Like
someone
was in the bath
on him.
Someone was in the bathroom.
I've heard that story for years too, so I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know. I don't think Grant doesn't seem. He doesn't seem to strike me as the kind of guy who worries about whether.
Yeah,
people
I don't think
view
he
him
cares.
As flattery.
Well, he dressed like a Bond villain.
He's not really there anyway. He's
when you admit you
projecting.
When you
he
like
making he was making he was just making a comment.
When you were in a room full of people and you tell them that you were abducted by aliens, shit in your pants is really low on the list at that point. I don't know. I don't think.
I was abducted by aliens, and I once shit my pants.
It's all in the order. It's all in the order of the door.
Reed Seaguy.
Yeah, is that all we got for
that's
for
it. That's it. That's
all right. All right. Yes, been enjoying the emails. Keep sending them, folks. I mentioned we're proud to help support the Hero Initiative. It's a great charitable organization. Go to heroinitiative.org. You should know all about Hero and all the good work that they do by now. I want to thank everyone for their iTunes reviews. Keep dropping those at the iTunes Music Store. It's a great way to help us promote the show.
Do it.
You can continue this conversation about Grant Morrison and Batman
shitting yourself.
You know, and I really had made myself, I like made a pact with myself. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try and be less cynical about comics anymore.
Well, I think you skipped over cynical. You're right.
I was doing great that first episode, and then you guys went all off. Tom was getting all pissed off about something and got me all riled up.
I don't think I was pissed
off. This is the maddest I've ever seen you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you, God. When you ain't seen nothing that, yet. At that, when I turned to look at you after that question, there was hate in your eyes. Like, legitimate
which question?
Anger. Like, the one about the RIP thing where you sat there and you were just like, whoever reads.
I'll just say
whatever. Just real anger.
No, it was.
He had old man eyes.
I was acting.
Old man
that
eyes.
That was for effect. That was all for effect. I was just doing
it
for the show.
Yeah, you had sod in you, my friend.
An old man in me?
An old man leering out of those eyes.
So you can. That's just me, Tom. That's not the sod.
You are an old man.
I am an old, cranky old bastard.
Happy birthday.
I'm trying. I was trying, but. Let's quit. Can we quit talking about RIP and Final Crisis and move on? It's over. Yep. Can we move on to something else so I don't get cranky?
Blackest Night. Here it comes.
Please.
Of
it.
Drop by the forum at aroundcomics.com
and
talk about something
sick
else
and tired of it.
Besides RIP or Final Crisis. For Sal's sake. Help Sal. You can also follow.
We actually like comics.
Yes, we do.
Most of them.
You can follow all
Shut
of
up.
Us on Twitter. And I've been trying to tweet about the really good comics that I'm reading each week. So I try and do that Wednesdays and Thursdays, you know, to say, hey, Captain Britain MI-13 was fun. They shot vampires out of missile tubes
on the
moon.
Don't give it away.
Jesus Christ, dude.
You spoil. What are you? Mr.
Mike Spoiler? Norton. Mike, your Twitter is pretty much just like an enemies list. Just do
you
like.
Are you and Stegman going to get into a fucking knife fight?
What is it with you two?
Who are you?
I don't like them.
Mike's Twitter is pretty much just a list of who he's targeting. Like, who is, like, number one at any given
time. He's in my sights. Who gets a headbutt today?
Put him in your sights and take him down.
That's right.
Two things on the latest.
You're on blast!
Two things on the last Crankcast episode that I absolutely won. One, your admission of karma getting you back for fucking
with
me.
Oh, I admitted that from the first, from the day I did it, I admitted that.
And,
I was like, holy shit, I need to change my life.
And you're... Your complete honesty about the whole Art Balthazar being your evil twin.
I didn't say that.
No, you not seeing that at all.
I'm not angry, though, is the thing. I mean, I'm not you. I mean, you're mad.
No.
I just come off like, I don't like anything, but
it's
I like
character.
Stuff.
It's a character like Mike plays. You have real hatred.
I mean, what I said was true. I mean,
I'm buying Grant Morrison right now. Tonight I'm buying a Grant Morrison.
Mickey Mouse looks like an angry person next to Art Balthazar.
This is true.
Again, Sal is saying I'm buying Grant Morrison and making a jerking off motion. There is no...
I have Superman, all-star Superman. Yeah,
this is great.
This is fucking fantastic. No, I...
Yeah, good luck to read exhibitions.
Well, speaking of, here's our Windy City Comic Con moment.
I'm not angry at all.
Windy City Comic Con, Saturday, September 19th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You've heard about it. You've heard about it already.
I don't deal with emotions other than anger very well, Tom.
We're adding 30 new creators to our guest list this year.
Where
new
are they
retailers
all gonna go?
And expanded programming. I'll show you the map. It's Visit www.windycitycomiccon.com for more information, and please remember to pre-register and get your ticket ahead of time.
Pay the price to get in the door.
Yeah, tickets are only $10, and gift bags for the
come and tell me how wrong I am about Grant Morrison.
There you go.
You're not reading it right.
Listen to Tom versus the Flash 3 times.
I know.
You better assholes.
You can listen.
It's
to
like 14 minutes long. What you do? There's all these podcasts that are like 3 hours long. It's 15 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, but it's just you for 15
minutes. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's not very good. It's kind of maybe one of the stupidest ideas for a show.
No.
It is really legitimately, when I think about it, maybe one of the dumbest things.
There are some dumber ones out there.
Yeah. It's a great show, Tom. It really is. It's
pretty great.
I finish recording sometimes and I think, this is... I'm like,
this is what am I doing?
I do that. I get to the end. I'm Jesus. Like, God, dude, why am I doing this?
Isn't there anything better I could be doing than this?
I look at it, I'm like, oh, what happens is I record one. I get to the end, and I'm like, that was pretty good. And then I immediately think, what am I doing? What am I doing when I'm sitting around, and I just talked about a comic book for 15 minutes, and I think to myself, oh, man, I did a great job talking about this comic book.
Good job, Tom.
And I just sit there, and I'm like, oh.
Well, this is not good. This is not where I wanted to be when I was 30.
I think to some degree all podcasters sort of think that. I mean, yeah. You know.
I just finished
this. We all just sort of,
I don't care.
Got to the end and it's like, oh yeah, great. That was a great episode. Yeah. Oh, well, that's weird that I thought that. Yeah.
No. It's all right. It's fun. It's good fun. It's good clean fun, Tom.
I hope it is. Well, yeah, it's good clean fun.
That's right.
Everyone should enjoy it. All those men out there.
You don't have any female listeners, you don't think? Maybe one?
I had a couple female listeners come up to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's good.
Yeah. Were they hot?
That's good.
Were they were attractive.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
I put out a challenge.
I'm not trying to speak without insulting someone at this point.
I put out a challenge. I said there are no women. I've had women listen, or at least men with Gmail accounts that have names like women, send me messages. I think they're women. Their writing style was delicate.
Well, if our MySpace friends is any indication, we have. Just hundreds
of hot,
hot women that are.
Their accounts are so hot, they're not even allowed on MySpace anymore.
They have to go to another.
Yeah, think
that's
of that.
How hot our listeners hot. Are. Yeah.
Think of that. We got hot listeners, man.
But you can listen to three hot guys and me on Thursday or Friday on 11 o'clock comics. And the.
He's a strong
man. Yo! Sitting on a stove.
Yeah, and like the three guys.
Come on, you've seen Vince.
Will they be on fire? Will there be someone lighting them on fire next
Vince time? Seems so sad.
He did. I thought that the whole time I saw him in New York, I was like, well, this guy is he's Mr. Personality on the internet. And then he's just sitting there with, seriously, like this face the whole time. He's just like this. Sad stare.
Sad, sort of like a sad
look. I was like, what's wrong with Vince?
I don't think there's enough comic books in the world to fill the hole in Vince's heart is the problem. So even when he goes to a con, he's just disappointed.
He needs some Kirby Crackle.
He does. He really
and
does.
By that, I mean cocaine.
The real Kirby Crackle. That's Tom's brand of cocaine that he's been selling.
Kirby Crackle. Kirby Crackle. Uncut shit, my friend.
Kirby Crackle. WMDs.
I'm
going
to take you to the fourth world.
God damn. We can make some money, Tom.
I'd like to go to the fourth world.
Oh, yeah,
would you? Nice. I'd like to thank everyone for
joining
us.
I'll be your Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Mike Norton, it's a pleasure as always.
Mr.
John Suntris, who chimed in a little bit earlier. Tom, Sal.
Yes.
As always, want to thank Mark Beatty.
I'm really trying hard to be less negative. I'm going to try next week.
I'm the same way.
You're fine. I don't think we were overtly...
No, I was scared of him.
There wasn't any hating. Except for that one question where I saw the hatred sort of boil up.
It wasn't hatred.
It was anger. There was pure anger.
Oh, stop.
That's the difference between me and Sal is I'll talk about punching people all day. I'm afraid he might actually do it.
You're playing a character.
No.
I'm not playing.
You're like Andy Kaufman.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You're going to wrestle a woman after the show.
Yeah. Oh.
Sal's got a... I don't know what's going on.
Well, as always, I thank Mark Beatty for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next week with another full-length episode. Sal's going to be going to some anger management classes. We'll update you.
No. Fuck that. I want you to let it out.
Teaching anger management. I know how to fucking manage my anger
with Sal.
I will
let it out slowly.
You don't, you know. People hold that shit in all the time and die of cancer or fucking
swallow it.
Some, you know.
In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Angry motherfucker.
So angry.
So angry.
I'm so,
so horribly angry.
I hate everyone.
That's so scary.
Not everyone knows you're wearing rainbow suspenders.
From the Robin Williams
It's all for the show.
It's all for the show.
It's all for you guys. I do it all for you listeners.
views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production. Copyright 2009.